It's Tuesday, July 4th. It's a holiday here in America. What are we celebrating?
We're celebrating our 241st year of consecutively being better than Europe. You think we'll get comments on that?
Oh, there come the downvotes. They came early this episode.
Well, speaking of Europe, we've got a follow-up on a story last week that got a few comments.
Yeah. So this is kind of like, maybe we will acknowledge that there is some correction aspect for this, but we're talking about Germany and social media and Germany's plans to censor. I don't know what word the Germans would like us to use.
Crush. So we got two points of feedback on this. First of all, that Germany definitely does have free speech, except XYZ hex codes, whatever. And that they pointed out that America has similar kinds of things, that America has crackdowns on free speech too. Very true. Every week we speak about this. We try to warn you about this. We don't defend it. We're not sitting here saying America's perfect. We're just pointing out your own problems. So don't be so nationalistic. The other point, the current government in Germany is not left. They're center, because they call themselves center something. We're talking about a global political spectrum. Just because you call it that. So, Kim Jong, he calls North Korea the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea.
We can all agree that's not democratic.
Are they a democracy?
Nah. Oh, we've been banned from Pyongyang.
So, global political spectrum, they are definitely on the left. They're very liberal compared to some of the less liberal places in the world. So, not really corrections, but we'll
roll with it.
Yeah, we'll engage you on it.
It's kind of fun. This is a follow-up. Germany really is actually planning to fine social media firms up to £50 million if they don't comply with removing these regulations, or at least making it so that German citizens don't see whatever it is that doesn't comply with the policy.
Well, you say planning. This is a thing now. They were planning it last week. Now they're definitely going to do it. And you got to think that Facebook isn't going to pull out of Germany, because, although, remember, they have like one of the lowest social media use percentages.
Which, seems smart.
Yeah, good job, Germany. But I'd say they're still not going to pull out, so they're going to face these fines, and they have to remove the stories worldwide.
So how long in before we start seeing the German police force, or the German force that's going to be policing this, starting to demand blockades of specific Facebook URLs if things aren't removed in a timely fashion?
Well, if only there were a precursor to that to warn us.
Yeah, that comes to us from Torrent Freak. There's a new lawsuit that are demanding ISPs block Sci-Hub. So we talked about Sci-Hub last week. This is a little bit of a follow-up. Sci-Hub was a website where you can get scientific publications that are normally inside of for-pay scientific journals, meaning that you have to subscribe to a scientific journal to get access to a scientific paper. What makes this interesting is the scientific papers were written by academics using public funding and public money in a lot of cases.
Now, so that was a $15 million settlement. Pretty big, right? But Sci-Hub said, whatever, we're not paying it. We don't care.
I don't know if it's really a settlement, more of a verdict, because Sci-Hub was like, this is dumb.
They didn't show up. So Sci-Hub is continuing to say, it's like, yeah, I'm not playing The Floor is Lava. I'm going to get a snack. This doesn't count. So yeah, go ahead, whatever. I'm not participating. So the American Chemical Society stepped in, and they're saying that, oh, hey, we should be getting some money too, and until we do, we want ISPs to block this URL.
Yeah, the interesting thing here is that the Sci-Hub people went so far as to basically clone the entire American Chemical Society website, basically every aspect down to the mission and the whole, like, it's like, this is about us, this is what we do, this is all the stuff, but it's hosted on a website that's not anything to do with the American Chemical Society. So in addition to copyright claims, they're saying, look, they're impersonating us. We're not affiliated with them. It's confusing to the public. What do we do here?
Yeah, and it's a good debate. It's hard to come down hard on one side or the other, because you got to respect copyright in some cases to have any sort of working market. But at the same time, we talk about information peddling, which is always tricky. You know, who's to say that it's like a magic number? You know, I'm going to say, is selling a magic number a bad thing? And if that magic number is billions of ones and zeros, is that any different than something scribbled on a piece of paper?
Especially considering that those ones and zeros were produced by public funding.
It's yeah, like, that's a big part of it.
I mean, technically, there's supposed to be an agreement there that's like your work goes into the public domain, but, you know, it's got to be carried by a journal, so it's sort of complicated, I guess. I don't know.
Very complicated, but I find it difficult to be mad at somebody who's just saying, hey, through without gaining anything from it. I don't know if they advertise on their site or anything. I don't know if they monetize it at all, but they're saying, hey, let's just give it away for free. Let's just do that. If there's no personal gain in it, it's hard to be as mad about it.
It's hard to imagine that, you know, by the same token, it's hard to imagine that there are moguls in the scientific journal publishing industry. That's like, oh, he's a captain of industry, a multimillionaire from all of his scientific journal publishing. Especially considering how easy it is to publish things on the internet now. I mean, the cost of that has got to be pennies, if not fractions of pennies. So, well, our top story today for the news, or our probably most exciting story. No, it's not really super exciting. It's Vega. Yeah. Vega is finally here. Is it Vega VD Viki? I don't know. Probably not. Not really. Or would it be? It would be Veiny VD Vega, I guess, would be what's going on there. The Vega Frontier Edition is out, and there's a lot of really good reviews. Gamers Nexus, PC Perspective, here's the article. You know, they sort of took it apart. It's a huge amount of silicon, and, you know, they got the benchmarks in for gaming, and it's not really all that fast. It's, you know, sort of sub 1080, better than 1070 levels for most gaming stuff, but at the same time, it's also 25 teraflops.
See, to me, this is not the top story. This is, and I'll quote CNN on this, this is a nothing burger. So let's take a step back here. We have this card. It's not a gaming card.
Not a gaming card.
But we're going to benchmark it for gaming. But it's bad at gaming. But these are all drivers, so ignore that. It's a tease. It's enough information to keep the hype train rolling, but not to spoil the current bonanza. So I think we need to look at this in terms of, this looks like a marketing failure, right?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think right now, okay, mid-range and low-level graphics cards, low margin, high volume. You got to sell volume in those things, right? So right now...
Except for the miners.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, AMD can't keep them on the shelves. They're selling at huge premiums. So why would you ever introduce a brand new range of gaming cards that would interrupt that wonderful sellout? Plus, we also know that there is a time horizon on this mining bonanza, because the difficulty is going to double in Ethereum, and AMD and NVIDIA are both working on mining specific cards. So let's just empty out the warehouses before we introduce Vega. It makes total sense to me.
I think those warehouses have been empty for some time.
Well, I mean, we're running the fabrication at full tilt. Let's get as many of these things out of here as we can, because we know that the Vegas are going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
So I think this is, you know, it's enough of a tease to keep us interested, but it doesn't hurt current sales.
Now, I think that the PC Perspective and some of the other sites have run, you know, the business workload benchmarks. But it's important to understand, like, the landscape here, like, if you're an enthusiast and you're into the gaming side of things and you want to know everything that there is to know about, you know, it's a new micro architecture, which is, I think, why a lot of these people are super excited about this. A new microprocessor, or a new micro architecture on the GPU side of things. And there's a huge amount of silicon here. A huge amount of silicon is hard to produce. It's inherently going to be a more expensive product. But this is a product that has a lot of raw compute. Yes, it drinks the power, but it's also really good for machine learning, at least in generic machine learning benchmarks. So this is another, this is the reason that I say that marketing could have probably done a better job here is, you remember the Microsoft HoloLens when they launched it? You know, it was like $5,000 and that nobody was sampled. In reading a lot of the articles and in looking at the people, some of the people that normally get, you know, early samples in order to review them, were a bit salty that they didn't get any Frontier Edition Vegas to review. But like the Microsoft HoloLens, Microsoft came up with the hardware, and they came up with some sample software, and they demoed it. And the people that it's really meant for are developers, the people that are really building things. And also apparently the driver, the people that are writing the drivers, because it's like, hey, we got the hardware, let's write some drivers that can take advantage of it. Now, I'm not saying that that things look really good or really bad in terms of the future of the Vega architecture for a gaming card, specifically RX Vega, which is going to be out at the end of July at SIGGRAPH, and that's going to be the gaming product. Is that going to be an HBM2 product, or is that going to use like HBM2 for some sort of high performance cache along with, you know, GDDR5 or something like that? We don't know. There is literally no details whatsoever. But for professional workloads, like think about people doing CAD and engineering and things, the Frontier Edition is also not for them because the drivers are not certified. So this really is a card for developers and programmers, people working on VR. And I think that, like, if you want the marketing formula that I think could have worked for this card, it would be AMD should hold an event on their campus that has people from industry. This card is built for people in industry. I don't think AMD has missed the mark in terms of understanding what people in the industry, what businesses in the industry want. But I think that they've not done as good of a job as they could have demonstrating things that it's useful for. So their press release, they talk about MROC for machine learning. They talk about Loom for real-time, putting real-time video together. But what they should have done is that the customers that are going to be using those features had a day on their campus where it's like, look at these cool things people are building with the Frontier Edition Vega, and then brought in journalists that are equipped to deal with that. I mean, Ian Kutras from Anantech, Ryan Schrouts, people at PC Perspective have computer science backgrounds. We could do it, you know, shameless plug. That would have been a really good way to cover Vega. But having, you know, sort of the gamers buy Vega and put a bunch of stuff on the internet, it drives the hype train, but I think ultimately it will be worse for them.
Well, the way to fix the marketing here, don't launch this card first. That's the only way you're going to avoid this. I think even if they'd done what you said, as soon as it's available for sale and there's no NDA, this was going to happen, yeah. No matter what.
I bought it for this thing because it's the only card that I can get for this kind of thing. And,
and it worked. I bet those stories have lots and lots of clicks.
Yeah, they definitely
do. Lots of ad views. So yeah, they kind of knew what they were doing, I think. They understand the hype train. And they want to ride it, but they've also got a gold mine in their backyard right now.
It's 25 teraflops on a card, which is completely, completely nuts. 25 teraflops. It's just a matter of harnessing that in the right way possible. I mean, you think like the RX 580, that's about 5.5, 5.7 teraflops. So to go from 5.5 or 5.7 teraflops to 25 teraflops. I mean, it's not all about the flops, but it kind of is, depending on what you're doing. I don't know. It's really there's some really cool stuff with Radeon Loom and the MROC machine learning. But even with MROC machine learning, it's like, can we do a cats per second benchmark like we did with the Asus Strix 1080 a couple of videos ago? And it's like, well, no, the libraries for that don't exist yet. At least to my knowledge, they don't exist. So even if we wanted to do the Cyphar 10 benchmark and tell you how many cats per second that Vega Frontier Edition can recognize, the software for that's not here yet. So that's problematic.
Total hype.
Oh, speaking of total hype, there's an overclocker that is claiming that the X29 VRM temps are a disaster with Skylake X. So you may have been reading about this. Some other people have sort of commented on the same thing that, hey, these X299 motherboards, we're talking about 180 watt TDP CPUs spec. And then if you overclock them, it's going to be way over 180 watts. They've only got the single 8-pin power delivery connector. And the VRMs get insanely hot. What's going on with that?
This, I think we talked about this when all, you know, Ryzen was coming out and we were talking about what's Intel going to do? And
more cores.
And well, but that was rushed. What the high core counts don't exist still, right?
Yeah, right.
So it was a real rush. I'm sure the boardroom was like, we will have this. We will have it by second quarter 2017. Do it now. And you know, the board partners, everybody, they had to rush. They cut some corners. They didn't test everything. And here's what you get.
Wow. Yeah. So this is sort of neat. Now, in our own testing so far, the problems have not been as pronounced. We will probably do a separate video on this ourselves. I can tell you that the amount of ripple in the 12-volt rail makes a huge difference in terms of heat production in the VRM area on the X299 boards that we're testing. We're testing with a retail 10-core i9 CPU, and the thing that you have to understand is that a couple of generations ago, the VRM circuitry was designed for like a maximum thermal envelope of about 105 degrees C, but the components now you know, can comfortably operate at 120 degrees C. There may even be boards that have been engineered to tolerate 150 degrees C. I'm not sure about that. I've sent the appropriate emails to the engineering teams, and I'm going to include an engineering perspective in the video when we do it. But, you know, if there's airflow and there's some other components here, this may be a little bit overblown just because the chokes and the FETs and stuff can deliver 40 amps each. And if you want to talk about raw wattage through an 8-pin connector, that single 8-pin connector can deliver about 350, 400 watts of electricity. And then you've got a couple of 12-volt lines on the ATX motherboard power connector to supply power through things like PCI Express slots. So you figure that an overclock, as long as the CPU is not going to be drawing more than, you know, 280 watts, 300 watts with the overclock, you've got a comfortable margin there for the rest of the motherboard in terms of 12-volt power delivery. But it is cutting it close.
That's also worrying because a lot of people aren't expecting heat in these locations. So yes, when you're building a system, it's going to be easy to overlook and not put any airflow over these areas, which could bite you pretty hard. The mention here is that when it experienced these kinds of heat, especially in the VRM, it would throttle the processor down.
Yeah.
And you might not know why that's happening. So you're going to get underperformance and have no clue why if you don't know about this.
Yeah, for DeBauer's specific testing, I think he said it actually did better without the heatsink with a fan. So I think as long as your build has reasonable airflow and you're not using an ancient power supply that has a lot of ripple, you probably will be okay. But I'm trying to quantify the ripple versus heat production thing with an oscilloscope, so we'll see how that turns out. Moving right along. Let's see. France has dropped a Windows 10 privacy case after Microsoft has changed its telemetry settings.
Yeah, this is a little bit worrying, I think. So Microsoft basically said, okay, we're going to drop about half of the telemetry. Here's what we're getting rid of. And that's, you know, they added the options. It's like, oh, base level doesn't spy on you anymore. So, and they made that part of the installation. So France is saying, well, this is enough for us. We're going to not go after you anymore. I'm not sure that it's enough.
It is interesting that the places where Microsoft, let's see, what is it, China and France now?
Well, China's much more aggressive. I think the Chinese government edition went way further than this.
Yeah, yeah. The Chinese government edition was replace your servers with ours. Let's call it a day. So maybe some kind of a deal was struck with France's intelligence agencies, and they can't talk about that.
Some money might have changed hands. Can't say for sure.
Someone has just noticed that the London police, they have 18,000 Windows XP PCs still.
This is in comparison to the 14,000 that are Windows 8. So the majority still
are Windows XP.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's ransomware and or exfiltration waiting to happen.
Now, they do admit that's not good. Now, they did set a date to be off of Windows XP. That was in 2016.
So they're only a couple of years behind. It's fine.
And unfortunately, for good old UK, that's not the only place Windows XP is running.
It's apparently running on the HMS Queen Elizabeth. Now, is this a nuclear vessel?
Is that a picture of it? Is it a carrier?
I think so.
Carriers are almost exclusively nuclear, right? Now, they say this is by design. Not a big deal, they're saying. They say the perimeter security, as they refer to it, is good enough that it doesn't matter that it's Windows XP. It's going to be fine.
No, there's a sign posted at the dock that says no Russian hackers allowed on board. Because that'll stop them.
They say that they do plan to upgrade, I think, within a 10-year window. But they haven't said when.
They need to upgrade to something that's not really horrible. Because
yeah. I don't know if Windows 8 is really... I mean, it's a move in the right direction. Well, it's a step back from the wrong direction. Maybe it's a better way to put it, right?
Yeah. It's almost not terrible. Oh, this is kind of a follow-up, too. The NSA is using traffic shaping to allow unrestrained spying on Americans. Now, this is something we've covered before, but finally someone has written a research paper on it. So this is not at all surprising to us. This is more like confirmation that... So it's a loophole, basically. So the NSA, theoretically, would not be allowed to spy on an American citizen. So, like, if I'm sending Ryan an email, you know, they can't spy on that because, hey, all that communication took place in America. But if they fiddle with our internet connections so that our internet connections are routed through, like, Cambodia, Then all of a sudden, oh, that was international traffic. And even though my email, you know, it should have been a domestic operation, and it would have been a domestic operation were it not for their fiddling, has suddenly become an international operation. Now spying on that is totally fine, even though we're American citizens.
Yeah, this was part of the Snowden leaks. So again, really old information if you go in certain circles. But I think CBS finally broke. Someone wrote a paper about it, and CBS took that story. So the normies are now finding out about it and freaking out like, oh, God. But this is not new. It's probably been going on long before Snowden and ever since.
Yeah, quite some time. I think it was also revealed this week that a single search warrant allowed interception of 3.3 million phone calls with similar shenanigans. And it's like, wow, a single search warrant let them record the contents of 3.3 million phone calls. And I think it cost $465,000 to do that.
And in the case of non-phone, if those were emails, then why bother with a search warrant? Just route them somewhere else. And I think they've got maybe they got like a server in North Korea that they've got malware on. It's like, just send it to North Korea. Nobody will ever question it.
Wow. Just, you know, be careful. Oh, it's just, well, you might as well just send everything through a VPN. It's going to be, you know, snooped on anyway. It doesn't matter. Oh, it's just so disingenuous that it's frustrating. Like, you ever deal with somebody that they say something and it's like, well, okay, in some parallel universe, that might have been true. But in this universe, you're full of crap. That's what that is.
You know that I've done that because you know who it is.
Google must delete search results worldwide, says Canada. So this something came up with, you know, somebody on Facebook had something that they didn't want on Facebook anymore, and it went to court, and Canada has said, no, you can't just remove it for Canadian citizens. You need to remove it worldwide.
Very similar to some cases that have gone on in Europe, and they shook out the same way.
Right, to be forgotten.
You must delete it everywhere. It's not good enough that our people can't see it. We are making rules for the entire world. And again, it's not like they're extending their sovereignty into other countries, because Facebook could say, we're not going to do business with Canada anymore. We're out of Canada. But they will never do that. So they're going to give in and give them what they want.
Wow. Just, I don't know. It's just, this is probably not a healthy direction that we're going. It's sad to see that the internet is going this way. I don't know. Are you a CIA contractor and you've been getting free snacks out of the vending machines? the director would like a word, I guess.
Now, they call this a hack. This is not a hack.
No.
They figured out, so they've got these cards that have prepaid balances on them for convenience in the machine. And these guys are CIA contractors. You know, they've got some technical knowledge. They unplugged the Ethernet cable.
Yeah.
And the card couldn't report back and debit the balance, so unlimited snacks.
Yeah.
Yep. This is in like 2013 or 2015. This has been a long time ago, but they're just now tracking them down. They're like, oh, we found you. And they got rid of all of them.
Yeah, there was surveillance footage. Apparently, actually, from the way that it read, it sounded like that at first they were like, there's an accounting discrepancy with the snack machines. And it's like, okay. And then they installed a security camera. And you'd think the contractors would be like, oh, there's a security camera pointed at the snack machine. It's like, yeah, it's probably all right. Or do you think maybe it was like passive aggressive? It's like there were budget cuts and there's no more free snacks anymore. So they're like, okay, we're going to do this.
Now, the estimate is $3,314 worth of snacks were stolen. Now, what do you think the camera installation, software setup, and monitoring cost the CIA?
Probably about 10 times that amount of money.
Sorry.
I mean, this was at least 40 hours of government employee time to write up the reports and do the documentation and make sure the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed.
Yeah.
I'm also really surprised that only contractors were caught up on this. I wonder if there was a distinction between contractors and agents or whatever, because it seems really surprising that only contractors were caught up in this.
I bet there's a big divide in the workplace there among the contractors and agents. Like, they don't eat lunch together. They don't talk to each other. It's like little cliques. So they would never share that secret. And the agents wouldn't come up with it on their own. So
I think the article also said that they referred it to the prosecutor for prosecution. And it's like, the district attorney is like, for $3,000, it's like, come on, guys.
I'd say you probably get paid pretty well to be a CIA contractor. You probably got $3,000 in the bank. It's like, look, we'll settle.
China. China's doing some really scary stuff with face recognition and tracking literally every citizen in order to build some sort of terrible profile on them.
Yeah, this is not, again, this is nothing new. We've reported ad nauseum on China, but it's interesting how far they're going with it. They're going down to the level of jaywalking.
Wow.
Jaywalking, if a camera sees you doing it and knows your face, they will do some citation or something's going to happen.
Send you a letter like, we saw that.
Yeah, and they're also installing iris scanners all over the country. So in a lot of places, just getting into a building is now going to require an iris scan.
Wasn't this in Skyrim? Like, whenever you murdered somebody, you got the note, and it was just the handprint. It was like, we know. So the Chinese version of that is, like, anytime you go, it's like, you jaywalk, you get the note. That's sort of disturbing.
Yeah, that would be. I think it's probably going to be a little bit more than that. I'm sure there's going to be a fine involved.
It's like you murder somebody at the bottom of a lake in Skyrim, and you get the little thing that's like, we know. And it's like, who was down there at the bottom of the lake with us? That doesn't make any sense. Well,
potions of water breathing are a thing. It's not impossible.
The Department of Justice has asked the Supreme Court to give it permission to search data centers anywhere in the world. This is also kind of a follow-up. It's a continuation of that story that we reported on a couple of months ago between Microsoft and the Department of Justice, because Microsoft was storing some stuff on, like, I think it was a server in Dublin or something, and the DOJ is like, hey, we need data on this subscriber, and Microsoft's like, whoa, that data is technically not on U.S. soil. It's not your jurisdiction.
Now, the DOJ has lost two appeals on this. Two different judges have said, no, it's in another country. You have no authority there. You can't do this. So what they're doing now is they say they want the Supreme Court to rule on this.
Yeah, this is bad if the Supreme Court chooses to hear this. I hope that they do not.
They won't be able to until the next session. So at least until then, your overseas data is safe.
Also kind of a follow-up. We talked about the Petya ransomware. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But it turns out it's not really actually ransomware. It deletes everything. And it also originated from accounting software updates.
Yeah, MEDoc is an accounting software that's popular in that part of the world. Ukraine is where this originated. And they pushed an update which contained this ransomware. Now, it does tell you to pay Bitcoin. But the thing about it is, they don't believe it was actually ransomware. They don't believe that there was actually any way to recover this. And on top of that, the email provider for the email address that they tell you to
Postio
to use blocked the account. So you can't communicate with these people. It was probably never going to decrypt in the first place. They did still manage to get $10,000. People, but it's now believed that this was never meant to be malware in the first place. That was just subterfuge for an attack on Ukrainian servers.
Yeah, apparently the encryption actually is just wiping everything, overriding everything with data. It's not really encrypting anything.
Yeah, it uses the master boot record. Now, if you get this, you think you're infected, it reboots your computer after an hour and then begins encrypting through the boot.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Pull the hard drive and you will actually not get encrypted. Your boot record's gone, but you can save your data.
If you get a message, I thought they had a screenshot in the article here, but it was not the red screen. It was just a black and white screen that kind of sort of looked like check disk is doing some stuff. It's not check disk. It's malware.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it causes the reboot after an hour and then it looks like check disk. If you see that, grab that cord, yank it, and save your data.
In other news about American senators being scared to death of the internet, they've only just discovered doxing, and they're like, "Oh God, you mean people can post where I live to the internet?"
I don't want to say it's funny because doxing, okay, that's bad, but swatting—that's the one because that's a terrible, terrible thing. And we stream on Twitch from time to time, and you have to be worried about that kind of crap.
Yeah,
but the woman who introduced this bill, she previously introduced the anti-swatting bill and was immediately swatted.
Wow.
So this is doxing, swatting, sextortion, and revenge porn. Can't do those. Well, this bill proposes that you should not be allowed to do that. Now, of course, you're not allowed to do any of those things right now.
Yeah.
But it's periphery laws that you get busted on. So they find another thing that you did related to that and charge you with that crime. These will become crimes if this law passes.
It also escalates the severity. I mean, you know,
federal.
Yeah, it's misdemeanor type crimes versus federal crimes. Federal crimes are a lot more severe. I mean, this, you know, if you have a prosecutor that's really gung ho to go after these kind of things, you can end up on Interpol's most wanted list. You may not be able to travel internationally. those kind of things. But you're you know, that will never happen for misdemeanor type crimes, but for federal crimes, absolutely.
And I think federal grand juries, if you take the case to trial, they've got high 90 percentile conviction rates.
Yeah.
You don't win against those trials. You settle or you go to prison,
yeah,
or both.
Yeah. In other news of ransomware saving the day, I guess, Victoria police have withdrawn 8,000 traffic tickets after their cameras got the WannaCry virus.
Yeah, so they've, of course, these horrible cameras on the side of the road that detects your speed, takes a picture of your license plate, mails you a ticket. They all got WannaCry.
Now, so apparently the origination of infection was a contractor or some employee or something used a USB stick on one of the cameras. And so they're not connected to the internet, but they are connected to each other, apparently. And when they used the USB stick, a bunch of cameras got infected. And so this is in no way exactly like what's going to happen with the London Windows XP Force or the you know, HMS Queen Victoria, because their networks is isolated too, right? So it should be completely fine.
And sailors would never take USB drives onto the boat with them.
That will never, never happen. No, I don't know.
Now, it's important to note, all those tickets are voided, but they will be rescinding them. They will. You'll get your ticket. Don't worry.
They just have to, like, decrypt the cameras and get the pictures and make sure that you're there.
I'm sure that $300 worth of Bitcoin is way cheaper than what they were going to lose from throwing away all these tickets.
Now, what if it was 300 Bitcoin per camera? That would be something.
I think they'd still come out ahead.
Yeah, those tickets are kind of pricey.
I don't know what they are in Australia, but, I mean, you're talking about, like, $100, $150 a piece here, depending on the speed.
Now, our ISPs are celebrating the 4th of July in an interesting way. Not just the 4th of July, but also they're celebrating Ajit Pai saying, yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's your network. You know, it's cool. We don't need any regulations.
They're celebrating the independence of oversight and common decency.
I really like that this TechDirt article has the word bullshit in its title.
Well, what other word could properly convey what this is? So the ISPs, of course, you're aware, and a lot of markets, they have data caps. They give you so much information. If you go over that, you start paying by the gigabyte or by the 10 gigabytes.
You start paying about 10 times what you paid for the first block of data, which right, doesn't make any sense.
So they argued it was data congestion, which was flatly debunked.
Proven.
Doesn't impact them at all. So then they went to the arguments of fairness. It's only fair that the big users pay more. Again, debunked. Doesn't cost them anything more. So now, robbed of all these arguments, they're just saying, we're doing it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Thanks, FCC. Of course, people in Australia already know our pain. They're squeezed by having infrastructure from 1988. So
they're wiping away their tears with their speeding tickets right now.
Oh, this is kind of a technology story, but not really.
It's kind of fake news, but it's fun.
It is kind of fun. So there was a murder, I think.
A robbery turned to a murder.
Yeah. And the people involved fled, and one of them called for a Lyft, like using the online service.
Yeah, they stole this guy's car, but then wrecked it and fled into the woods. But the police knew they were in the area because they were on foot and they were in the woods. You can only move so far, you know. So they had a cordon off and they were waiting for them. And mysteriously, a Lyft car showed up at one of the perimeters.
It's like, yeah, I've got a pickup for a passenger.
Now, you might think Lyft should not get involved in this. This is wrong. That's actually why it's fake news. They just turned the Lyft driver away. It happened that the chief of police drove the same car of the same color. So they just all hopped in his car and went, and the guys came out, and they pulled guns on him.
Yeah, yeah. There was an arrest. But yeah, so it's the people came out of hiding because the car looked the same. I mean, come on.
You have to question, if I'm running from the cops, the last thing I'm going to have on me is my smartphone. I'm ditching that first. That's crazy. You shouldn't be able to call a Lyft if you're running from the cops. Don't do that.
Oh, in other news, a fired employee hacks and shuts down smart water readers in 5 U.S. cities. This is sort of an interesting story.
I don't think we have these. I still see the reader guys running around. So, you know, usually guys drive around and they come and there's a meter on the side of your house, tells them how much water you've been using. Well, the smart meters do it via the internet. They call home and they say, hey, this is in real time. This is how much these people are paying or how much water they're using. Here's what they owe. Well, this guy was an engineer who built those things and knew the passwords, and they fired him.
huh. And it's like, okay, well, nobody else knows how to do this. I'll just turn them off.
So he remoted in from his own home IP address. Not bright.
Wow, the hubris.
Yeah. And shut them down, and in many cases, changed the password to something offensive, they said. You know, extra little jab for you. Well, they found him, and they've charged him. So they're claiming, you know, not only was he breaking into their systems, which is illegal, but he cost them a bunch of money because they had to send the guy out to manually read it. So he's looking at, he was sentenced, actually, to a year and a day and some kind of fine.
Yeah, but they were trying to charge him with 90 years in prison and a $3 million fine. So a year and a day is not as terrible, I guess. The punishment kind of fits the crime.
I think the lesson here is if you fire a high-level engineer, make sure you change all the passwords.
NVIDIA to launch graphics cards that are designed specifically for currency mining. Actually, it's not just NVIDIA. It's NVIDIA and AMD both. They are launching cards targeted at mining. So they're a little bit more efficient for mining. They don't have external display connectors. I think in the case of the AMD ones, you can use them in Crossfire, but don't quote me on that because I haven't tested it and I don't know if that's the intention. They're hoping that there is a market for cryptocurrency cards that will not cannibalize the graphics card market. Because right now, honestly, is a terrible time to build a computer because DRAM prices are kind of high, there's a flash shortage, and goodness gracious, graphics cards are expensive.
Yeah, and up until now, it's mostly been AMD, but now there's crypto software that's taking older NVIDIA cards and making them useful as well. And as long as Ethereum is as high as it is, people are going to, you know, it's arbitrage. You can make money at it. People are going to do it. Now, unless these are wildly more efficient, I don't think it's going to help with the...
Yeah, it's just going to be another thing.
Right. It's market is still going to be completely drained. What's going to help is the eventual doubling of Ethereum's difficulty and if those prices ever correct.
If it's true that... you would be able to use some of the silicon that otherwise would be discarded because it's defective in some way, then these mining cards will be really good. But I think the reality is that it's not going to be that. I think that the silicon that is used in mining cards is not otherwise reject silicon from actual normal graphics cards. So in that respect, I don't see how it could possibly help the regular graphics card retail market.
Yeah, it almost seems like it might just be a little bit gimped to not game well, just so you can have two different categories now.
Yeah, they might eventually do that with, like they do with the professional series cards. So there are, you know, the pro series cards are not gimped in ways that the consumer graphics cards are. The consumer graphics cards are that are really good at gaming could be just as good for some professional compute workloads. But the cards have been modified in silicon and in software to make those kinds of workloads problematic. And so we may see that kind of market differentiation as well. But right now, the current generation, that's not the case.
And it would be too much of a public outcry if you were to push a driver update that made the current cards not work well for coin mining. That would be a PR nightmare.
Yeah, no one's going to do that. So maybe the next generation of cards. Well, Amazon, they took over Whole Foods last week, and they are wasting no time. They are revamping the Whole Foods warehouses to be robotic, just like their product distribution warehouses.
Now, they've been very careful when talking about this acquisition that they are not going to be getting rid of the cashiers. They're always like, no, 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 the Whole Foods cashiers are part of the experience.
They're part of our family.
They're wonderful. Now, those factory workers, they're gone. They're finished. Robots all the way.
Those are not our families. Those are the cousins that have set up shop in our house, and we don't know how to tell them that we don't want them to live here anymore.
So they already know quite a bit about running a warehouse. Also, an interesting thing is Amazon has never invested in refrigerated warehouses.
Oh.
Because they don't move enough frozen products. Whole Foods has a bunch of refrigerated warehouses.
Hmm.
So those might get, you know, sort of folded into the Amazon family of warehouses, and Amazon might start offering more stuff like that.
Interesting. So that's an aspect of the acquisition that had not been considered until now, is refrigerated goods sales and what kind of margins Amazon could make on that. I mean, can you imagine an Amazon that is competing with, you know, all kinds of frozen food delivery? It still seems like you'd still have to, you know, do the dry ice packages and things like that. That's not cheap.
But if you're ordering, think about in terms of a restaurant. Is you're going to do 20 pounds of steak?
Amazon going head to head with Cisco.
Yeah.
Not the one with the C, the one with the S.
Could be huge.
Tumblr's unclear future shows that there's no money in internet culture. Oh, I can't talk today. This is like, we don't care. Like, this is, this story is only here so we can point and laugh.
Yeah. Tumblr is, I think Tumblr is kind of the other side of the coin to 4chan. You know, it's
the slightly more upscale version of 4chan, actually just as evil and corrupt.
4chan is evil and they know they're evil. They're chaotic evil. But Tumblr is, you know, that sanctimonious leftist kind of deal. The idea here is, of course, Verizon bought Yahoo and Tumblr was part of that. And Verizon's kind of looking at it like, why do we have this? This is costing money and it's useless. It doesn't make any money. Because Tumblr has never made money. But it's a huge internet culture thing. And everybody's like, no, this is important. It's like a museum. We need this. This is important. But Verizon's like, let's go back to it doesn't make money.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you make money on internet culture? It's like, I don't know. But if you figure it out, you need to call the people at Twitter, too, because yeah. They haven't figured it out there either.
So Tumblr, who knows? Who knows what the future is? I don't think anybody wants to buy it. It's a loss. You wouldn't buy a loss, but...
I suspect it's probably already too late for Tumblr anyway, because, you know, the whole net neutrality thing, the first time that it was happening, Tumblr was one of the big sites that was like, yeah, pro net neutrality, we need to do this. A bunch of new sites have signed on. But now with Verizon being Tumblr's corporate overlord, they've been really quiet on the whole net neutrality thing. Anybody involved in that has not, you know, they've been dismissed already, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's hard to be a freedom fighter when the empire just bought you. So I don't know how you're going to reconcile that.
It's not even like Cloud City. It's just straight up. They just murdered everybody and replaced them. It's like, it's like in Chainsaw Massacre where they're just wearing Lando Calrissian's face at this point. That's all that it is. Sushi robots and vending machine pizza will reinvent food automation.
This is not the first time we've talked about the pizza robot. And of course we talked about the salad robot, Sally, and we talked about the what was the other one? There was another food vending robot.
Flippy.
Well, that's not really a vending machine. But the idea here is the return of the automat. Now, if you've never played a Fallout game or you don't remember the 50s and 60s, there used to be these places known as automats where it was like just a big room full of little cubes with food in them, and you'd put coins in and the door would open and you would take the food. Well, this is sort of like Automat 2.0, where the vending machines are actually going to prepare the food inside themselves and serve it to you with no humans.
Neat. It's going to be just like in, well, pretty much anything that's science fiction, like from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, so salads they've got here. Sushi. Sushi is a weird one. Do you want sushi from a vending machine? I still feel weird about that.
Tuna's probably okay, but like that poison blowfish, I don't know that I would want to. I mean, do you take the chance? I mean,
isn't that like $500 a slice? You think you're going to vend that out of a vending machine? Well, we didn't sell another one today. Cut $500 off the bottom line. But they've also got burritos and, of course, the salad one. Now, they make it very obvious, very clear in this article. They're saying that this is not like your classic vending machine. These, every morning, there's fresh burritos, and every morning, there's fresh pizzas, and so forth. But it does raise the question of, what do you do with the old ones? Mm-hmm. Are those just getting thrown away? It seems like it could easily be a loss if it doesn't get popular.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. There are, you know, Turbo Chef has done a few products that they're not around automation of, like, the food preparation, but they are around, it's like, you know, you prepare a week's worth of meals, stick it in your fridge, and then you can literally just pull the meal from the fridge, stick it in the Turbo Chef thing, hit a button, and the meal will be prepared for certain kinds of meals. But it's very carefully chosen. It's not arbitrary stuff. And I could see, like, a domestic version of this. I think that it will be much less successful in a restaurant scene.
Now, it does give you the ability to get your burrito or pizza at any time of the day. Now, if they're loaded in the morning and you're getting the 4 a.m. pizza, maybe not the freshest. But at that point, you're probably so drunk you don't care.
Let's talk about Dubai's RoboCop car thingy.
Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Look how adorable it is. Now, I know you're a big fan of Knight Rider.
Oh, yes.
The original Knight Rider.
The original, yes.
Did you ever think that the first robot car would look like this?
It is a little bit Mr. Rogers, I have to say.
And the eyes are just a little bit too far apart. It makes it look just a little retarded.
Yeah, so there's a video of this thing. You should totally check it out. It apparently has the ability to launch a drone. So, like, if you run up and hit it with a baseball bat and then run off, it'll launch a drone to track you or whatever.
Yeah, it has, tracking cameras all over it and the drone. So the idea is this thing can keep tabs on you. Now, it's not going to arrest you. It's not going to, like, launch electrodes into you and detain you.
That's Model 2. They're working on that.
But it will stalk you until the real authorities can find you, and you're not going to be able to hide from it because it's going to launch the drone if you go off-road, and it knows all the roads. It's going to track you. It's pretty Orwellian, it's adorable.
It can send information back to human operators, and it seemed like the face recognition and that sort of stuff was completely automatic. So the human operator can look at a list of people that the robot has encountered in the last few hours, the last day, or whatever. And, you know, you're kind of using that to canvas an area. Like, say there's a crime in a particular area. It's like, all right, who all was in that area at this time? It's like, well, the robot's got a ready-made list of all that. You don't even have to comb through the footage. It's just there.
Right. And, of course, not mentioned, but something that you have to keep in mind in these times is something like protesting, crowd control. These things are just going to be cruising along, crowds, and launching the drone and monitoring everything. So even in non-criminal activities, these are amazing surveillance tools.
If only there were some sort of technology to defeat our new robot overlords. And we get just such a technology from the Australian outback.
Well, it's not technology. This is good old carbon right here. So kangaroos. The self-driving cars don't like kangaroos. It turns out the way that a self-driving car monitors what's in front of it is defeated if that thing is midair.
Huh.
Which kangaroos, during most of their travel, are midair.
Floating through the air.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, driverless cars. We didn't plan for floating kangaroo things going through, so they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, it estimates their distance to be much farther away than they are because it can't gauge the shadow properly and smacks right into them. So it turns out, I didn't know this, but where we live, it's deer. People constantly run into deer. You know, they're not real bright, especially when headlights are involved. They're just like, oh, let me stop. So I guess kangaroos are kind of the same way in Australia. Huge problem running into kangaroos.
Neat. It'll be interesting to see what sort of algorithm comes out of that. It's like there's going to be some startup company of three guys and, like, you know, the outback that are, you know, descended from the Aborigines that come up with the kangaroo avoidance algorithm, and then that's going to be in driverless cars for the next 200 years.
We also might see, the people who try to jump in front of cars for insurance claims. They're really going to be working on their jumping. You know, they're going to be like bunny hopping over the street so that the self-driving car will just hit them.
I hadn't thought about the insurance fraud aspect of that. Yeah.
Or big uptick in the sale of pogo sticks. Could be huge.
There's a guy on a pogo stick going into the driverless car. He's like, yeah, this guy's far away. I'll just run over him. It's fine. So, yeah, your smartphone. I think we all knew this was true. Like this, I feel like I didn't really learn anything from this article, but this is a academic confirmation that if you have your smartphone around, it's distracting you and making you dumber.
The really interesting thing to hear, like you say, we know, you pick up the phone, it breaks your concentration. But when the phone was in a purse or in a drawer, you still had less performance on this test than when it was completely outside the room. So just knowing that it was nearby, just having that pull was enough to disrupt your test results.
I think that it's probably a Pavlovian response. Like if you've got your work phone and you're on call or whatever, and it's like, oh, I haven't checked the phone in 15 minutes. What if it's not making noise and there's been some horrible disaster at work? It becomes difficult to concentrate on pretty much anything.
Yeah. So I wonder if due to this, some companies, especially very large companies, will have more restrictive phone policies.
I like this next story because the Army is finally closing the loop on the technology that I originally saw in Airwolf. So, yeah.
The sunburst. I think the sunburst was more of a missile, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll pretend it was a laser. It's fine. They're putting lasers on helicopters, finally. So, that's neat.
Now, we've been putting lasers on stuff for a long time now. The problem with helicopters are, of course, that they are constantly moving, you know, like very tiny increments, corrections. And of course, with a laser, you know, anybody that's played with their cat with a laser pointer at a certain distance, you just can't keep that thing still. You know, you don't realize how jittery you are until you try to keep a laser still. But the targeting technology has gotten good enough for up to a mile on a helicopter to be able to roast an SUV or whatever.
Oh, that was a solar flare. It was not a covert ops team, I swear. Oh, you guys remember the Super Nintendo? Well, the Super Nintendo Classic is coming in September, just like the NES Classic. Nintendo promises that they're going to make a bunch of these because they didn't make enough NES Classics.
Yeah, and of course, when they stopped making the NES Classic and everybody said, "Why did you do that? I still want one. Please take my money." A lot of people speculated that's because they're coming out with a Super Nintendo version, and here it is.
Now, there are an awful lot of games that are missing from the game list on Super Nintendo, ones that I would think that would be, you know, you must include, but they're not, and I don't know why.
Now, they are going to give you Star Fox 2 or 3 or whatever. They never came out on Super Nintendo, so you're going to get something exclusive. It's $80. The NES was much cheaper, wasn't it? Like 50?
Yeah, 40? I think it was like 40 or 50.
$80, so you should be able to get one of these on eBay for right around $200.
Now, what's going to be sad is when we're reporting on this around Christmas time on the follow-up, it's going to be, yeah, Nintendo made more money from the Super Nintendo Classic than they did from, like, the Wii U and the Wii combined.
Oh, the Switch is what they got now. Which, yeah. I think you still can't get those, right?
The Switch? No, I don't know. I think they're doing okay on the Switch. I left the Switch out because they're doing okay on the Switch. The Wii U, not so much.
Now, of course, we would never advocate this. Never. Because downloading copyright material is wrong, and you will go to hell for it. But it is worth noting, just for science, that a Raspberry Pi and a ROM collection will give you every Super Nintendo game for $10, give or take, if you include the data.
$45. Because the Raspberry Pi itself is $35.
Oh, what about the $5 ones won't do it? Are they too weak?
I think the $5 ones can do NES, but Super Nintendo is pushing it.
Okay.
Well, they might have optimized it, though, because the last time I played with the Raspberry Pi for emulation, it was like day one, and so it was a little rough.
Well, still half price, and again, every game, not 30 hand-selected games.
Oh, but don't do that. This is definitely a sign of the apocalypse. We always try to cover sign of the apocalypse stories. Facebook has crossed 2 billion monthly users.
There were little like subsets of like 800 million people click this emoji every day. 500 million people click this emoji every day. And it's like, oh, what have we done?
I'm speechless. I'm just,
it like speaks for itself.
2 billion people using Facebook every day.
That's monthly.
Doing what? What are they doing? What are
wasting
they doing?
Their lives when they could be watching quality YouTube content on Level 1 Text?
So what do we call the bartending robot?
Tindy?
Tindy, the bartending robot at a Las Vegas strip club. Yeah, so there's a robotic bartender at a strip club in Las Vegas. You should totally check it out, I guess.
Yeah, so the way this thing works is they have tablets lying around. It's an upscale place, so yes, there are tablets just lying around. You find one, you put in your order, it creates a QR code, you go up, you show the QR code to the robot, and it gives you your drink. When they're not super busy, it takes about 70 seconds.
Wow.
So pretty fast service. Now, here's the problem, though. A single shot of top shelf liquor made by the robot going to cost you $14. And they mention gratuity included for the robot. I wonder what he's spending it on. Or she. I shouldn't gender the robot.
Well, I would at least hope that if I'm tipping the robot, they at least put googly eyes on it and like maybe a really fuzzy eyebrow or something like that.
I don't think so. I think these are just cold. Now, there's another story. I don't know if we might have covered it last week where they were serving beer in another place.
Oh, yeah.
And you buy it by the ounce. So like you put your card in and you're like, I want 40 ounces of beer. And there's just all these different taps and you go around and your cup, I think, is your ticket. And you can sort of like, give me 2 ounces of this beer, and then give me 2 ounces of this beer, and you can sample. That seems like a more useful way to do that, but this is just pure, you know, look at our robots.
Hopefully this doesn't end up being something that's just horribly broken or whatever. I don't know. Might be fun to check out the next time I'm in Vegas. I don't know when that'll be. We saved the best story for last. This is an AI where you draw something and it tries to figure out what you were drawing.
And finish it for you. So they are trying to educate their machine learning for doodling. And one of the ways they're doing that is they're going to let you go in there and start drawing things. And it's going to try to guess what it is and finish it for you. And in doing so, increase its recognition of doodles. That's a pretty decent spider, right?
What's happening here?
The blue is what it's doing, right?
Yeah.
So it's... Oh, it's giving it like Spider-Man eyes. But there's only two. So this is hours of entertainment. If you're bored, go draw things for the... you do have to pre-select from the top what it is. You don't get to draw your own stuff, but... Is that a horse's tail?
It's random.
I didn't get that one very well.
It's like, I don't know what's going on here.
Someone should turn this into a game show.
That knows where to put the legs.
Check what other things can we try to draw?
It's going to load the... okay.
So it just tries to take over immediately. Oh, it's not too bad. It's not like a monocle.
It's not doing too bad.
We thought it might be fun to turn Krista loose on this.
Now remember, the technology that can defeat this is a kangaroo. You never know when you're going to need that piece of information.
You should start farming kangaroos right now if you're in Australia. It'll be super valuable.
That's been, in case you guys hadn't guessed, it's kind of a slow week for news, yeah. Except for the whole Vega thing. And Vega is really not going to be a thing until the end of July. So unless you're a programmer, in which case Vega is kind of exciting if you're a programmer. But like the HoloLens, it makes sense that they're not giving it away. So should be good. I guess that's it for the news this week. I'm Wendell.
And I'm Ryan.
And we'll see you next week.